Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Hello, listeners. Welcome back again to Three Men for Thee in the Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And we're so excited to have with us a musical group, a gospel group, a leadership group in the ministry, John and Tanya James. And they both have individual kind of music stories in each of their lives. And maybe we'll get to share some of that as we go through our dialogue today. But John and Tanya, it's so good to see you again. I met them at a Ukrainian a welcoming dinner. And there was a speaker from, was it Lantern Rescue, talking that's about right. Rescuing the children during the crisis of war that's going on in Ukraine right now. So that's how we just kind of bonded and connected, and here we are. So Jack,
here we are, mate.
Take it away.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your love, your grace. We're thankful for this opportunity to have this interview. And we pray, Lord, that you would use it for your glory and your honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. John, tell us about how, first of all, what age were you when you got interested into music, and how did the Newsboys thing come about?
Yeah, well, I was actually about 19 years old when the Newsboys started, I guess, the journey. 1920 around there, I was the grandfather of the band. We met at church, and we're sort of new believers at the time. I was new to the Christian faith, and God had impacted my family and my life. And I met one of the guys at church one day, and the friendship was struck up. And through the course of the friendship, I discovered that him and a few other mates were talking about starting a band, a Christian band. And I quickly learned they had no lead singer. So I elected myself. I had never really sung a note in my life except in the shower. But I thought, come on, how hard can it be? We're not working for NASA here. And so we started a band, and I've got to be honest with the listeners and the viewers. We started the band in a garage in the early days, just annoying the heck out of the neighbors. And really at that time of conception, really not understanding the magnitude of what was possible and how God would take a bunch of, you know, uneducated, dysfunctional kids from the middle of nowhere in Australia. And he would use us as a vehicle through music to take a message of hope, but hope found in Christ alone to the world through the avenue of music. So that's kind of how the band started, in a garage, annoying the neighbors.
Now, well, go ahead.
I can tell you at the time, you were, the Newsboys were one of my daughter's favorite groups. And I still sing one of your songs today. It's called Shine. And I'm sure you're familiar with it.
I am. Be careful, mate. Listen, we put a lot of back masking to subliminal messages on that music. Prolonged exposure will influence you in a good way, all right?
All right. Well, it's the music was very good. I enjoy the songs, especially Shine became my favorite out of your group. Just phenomenal song, to say the least. But initially, did you come to Christ as a child or as a teenager, or how did that work?
Yeah, well, the background of my coming to Christ and started that journey of following Christ, I was born into the most toxic and broken and abusive, dysfunctional family. And my family was torn apart into a million pieces. We kind of were abandoned by our parents. I never really knew any of my siblings growing up. We were sent to live in different homes. Academically, I was a total failure, expelled, kicked out of practically every school I ever attended. I don't even have a high school education, no university, nothing. But at the age of 15, I was walking home from school one day and I met a total stranger in the street. And little did I know at the time, because when I met this guy and a conversation was struck up, I thought it was just some random coincidental encounter with some stranger in the street in the middle of nowhere in Australia. But I had no idea the magnitude of that encounter, and that through that young man and the friendship that was going to be developed and the discipleship influence that he my life through that young man I met in the street. I just didn't know it yet. And he was the vehicle that introduced me to the gospel and inspired me on my journey of walking towards the kingdom of God. But at the same time, in another part of the country, my biological father, that was the sole responsibility fell on him, that totally destroyed my family after the beatings and the abuse. And God only knows what that man inflicted on my family, just destroyed our family. But my biological dad in another part of Australia rode to the repentance at the foot of the cross so dynamically that he instantly changed the direction of his life. And he led his new wife to the Lord. That's my stepmother. Then he hopped on a plane and flew where we all lived in Australia. And he has the audacity to lead his ex-wife to the Lord. That's my mother. And her new husband to the Lord. That's my stepfather. And he led all, A-double-L, my four sisters and my brother to the Lord. And several of them are pastors of wonderful churches in Australia today. And it's just this incredible God we serve. You know, that the very person that was responsible for utterly destroying my family was the very vessel and vehicle that God chose to use as to be a catalyst to totally transform my message. And, you know, my dad, when he came back on the scene and he was having this most profound influence on my family, everyone he met, it was so incredible. And it wasn't because he came back years later with a resume of how he was an amazing husband, you know, a resume. Let me tell you how I was the most incredible father to my kids. It was none of those things. What my dad came back with was the power of a testimony. You know, I was once a sinner. I was once so broken and lost, but Christ and the miracle of what Christ has done at Calvary for sinners. I never cease to be amazed that, you know, God is still, even today, 2,000 years after the miracle of Calvary, even today, the message of forgiveness of sins and hope found in Christ and Christ alone is still changing lives around the world. So that's how my broken, unlikely, the most dysfunctional family on the planet made, how we came to Christ.
Woo, wow.
Yeah, crazy.
What a testimony.
Yeah,
may I ask what city in Australia?
At the time, I was living in far north Queensland, a little town called Innisfail, up in Crocodile Country, way up in the top of Australia. So that's where
Michael J. Dundee.
that's where I met Christ and started this incredible journey of following Christ and walking towards the kingdom of God. And in my wildest dreams, I had no idea where that following Christ would take me. And I got to tell, you know, anyone that's listening or watching this, this interview, never cease to be amazed how God has, and he continues to use a turkey like me. I'm like, crikey, God, if you can use and change somebody like me, oh, you can change and use anybody. The good news of the gospel.
Well, amen. That's the reason that we always ask all of our interviewees how they can, because it's amazing. We hear some of the most incredible stories. It always is. I love to hear how people come to Christ.
And Jack?
Yeah.
It's amazing how he works, like you said.
We never know who God's going to put in front of us. And sitting right there beside John is a woman who started her music career a little bit earlier than John did. So Tanya, a little bit earlier. Tell us about your music background and your testimony.
Yeah, so I grew up in a Methodist church, and I grew up with a very musical family, and we sang in church. At the age of 6, I started singing in the church and the church choir and the youth groups, and just was always around music, always around any kind of, my grandfather could play any kind of instrument you put in front of him, and always had music. Every time we were at my grandparents' house, it was my aunts and uncles were all in the music, you know, industry. My aunt was a music teacher and traveled with a band in Germany. My uncle was in a band, and my other uncle was in a band. Anyway, just very influential in music. Yeah.
So how did your paths cross?
So John and I met when I moved to Florida in 2018. We met when we were down there. I was living in Florida. John was living in Texas. And we met through music because I had recorded my first album and released it in 2009. And I was looking to do another album. And lo and behold, I connected with John because they have a recording studio down in Florida. And we got talking on the phone, and he said, well, hey, I'm going to be at a church next weekend in Florida. If it's near where you live, come, let's meet and talk about the project that you have going on. And I said, well, Florida is a big place, right? So I said, well, where is it at? And it was 3 miles from my house. And I said, oh, I guess I'll go. And we met and went to lunch and hit it off. And he went back to Texas. I stayed in Florida. We dated long distance for a year.
I chased her for a year, mate. Oh, she ran fast, but I finally caught her. Praise God.
Yep. So now we're making music together. Well, not yet. He's not singing, but we're hoping it'll happen.
Now, you just finished a book, haven't you?
No, I'm working on a book.
She's almost
working on a book.
I just recorded a new song in Nashville. We were just there 2 months ago. A
couple of months ago.
Yes,
in the studio.
Wrote a new song and released a new song. And so that's out now live. Yep.
So, John, y'all are traveling all over the United States, aren't you?
We're really blessed, to be able to travel together. And we do a lot of speaking in different communities around the country. We do a lot of stuff in drug and alcohol rehab facilities, in public schools. So we're excited about the school year kicking off again. Recently, the Lord's opened up the most incredible door to bring a message of hope found in Christ with the military. And so we're really praying for God's ongoing favor. We're currently talking with several other military bases around this great nation about coming in and working with them. So we're just praying for God's ongoing favor with that. But it's amazing. We get to share our story and wherever the Lord opens up the door, whether it's in front of thousands or 10 people in a little church in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, if God says go, we go.
Well, yeah. I saw a post on your, or a picture on your site where you were, sharing with military men. It looked like just hundreds and hundreds of them.
While we were there, it was the most humbling experience that we were blessed to be a part of. Over the week we were there, we had the privilege of speaking to almost 7,000 troops. Wow. In 4 days, we did 22 one-hour lectures.
Wow.
And those photographs were venues like that where they just marched in hundreds of troops that I had a captive audience to be able to share, and it was just the most amazing thing. But you know, we were there talking about hope but the importance of the need. While we were actually there on that particular military base, one of the drill sergeants shot himself, committed suicide that week. Because unfortunately suicide is an epidemic. And a sense of hope.
What do you think is causing that? Because we talked about that today at lunch.
What did Alex say, Jack? What, two people a day?
Yeah. What do you think is, among service people, what do you think is causing that?
Yeah, it's hopelessness, and they come back with PTSD, and it's, you know what? They're not treating the symptom. They're not treating the issues. They're giving them medication and not really addressing the trauma that happens to these people. And we talked to some of the troops there, and they said, it's 2 to 3 months to get in to see a psychologist.
To talk about
my problems. So I don't have, there's no hope. And if I do talk about a problem, mm-hmm. I'm going to lose my security clearance, and I'm going to lose my job, and I'm going to be kicked out of the military. So it's like almost to address a situation that desperately needs to be addressed. They can't, because they lose everything.
Yeah. And so it's so often, it's like they're in such high demand positions. Yeah. The base we were at, it's one of the number one strategic installation to stop cyber attack, cyber security to America, and also the satellite system. So it's such a high demanding pressure job. If I show any weakness, they're going to put struggling. Me up on report that I'm struggling, I'm dealing with things. Man, I'm going to lose my clearance, I'm going to lose my job, and there's 100 people lined up behind me that would take my job in a blink. So you know what they do? They suppress it, mm-hmm. and they push it down. And, you know,
it doesn't go away.
You know the way we're designed. We're not, you know, when you go through difficulty and stress and adverse situations, we're meant to be in a safe environment where we can carry each other's burdens. Yeah. We can open up and be transparent. And when you continually push it down, you can only suppress it for so long until you explode. Hence why so often the explode is such a negative outcome. Yeah. Also, alcoholism is rampant, because a lot of times they self-medicate to relieve the stress through drinking excessively. And so in that environment, alcoholism is just rampant. A message of hope, mate. And it breaks your heart, but it's the reality of the world. So it's the most incredible, ripe harvest environment. So we're just so thankful to the Lord. And we're asking the listener, those watching, listening, that they would pray that God would continue to open up the door.
Yeah.
So kingdom people can come in and bring a message. Yeah, address it and bring a message of hope found in Christ.
Yes.
Wow. Well, when we
otherwise, all you're doing is putting a Band-Aid on the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when we post this this video, we'll put some links up there on the video so that people can look at your website and see how they can contribute, connect with you all as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how we had a interview with a musical group earlier today. Today is our music day for whatever reason.
Okay.
And I confessed that, like so many kids of the 60s, I grew up in the 60s. I was a member of a little band for a little while and tried to write songs. So I admire people who can sit down and actually write a song to somebody, one, likes, and two, they will buy.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing to me. So Nashville, I spent 8 years in Nashville. I went to school there and lived there after I graduated for a period of time. And I loved Nashville. In fact, we're planning to make a run back there for the first time in years as we celebrate actually 50 years.
Wow, congratulations. Wife and
I have been married.
Praise God.
And we're planning on a little trip back there to just visit the old town again and take a look at where we used to live and all that. But what I wanted to ask was, how did you select a studio up there? Did you have connections? Did you sign a contract? Can you tell us how that worked?
For Tanya, when she did her song recently? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. The same gentleman that was the producer for my first album lived in New York, not far from where I did. And he moved since then to California, but he does a lot with like Dolly Parton, and they all go to the studio in Nashville where he does all the recording out of. So I was able to meet up with the same producer that did my first album in 2009 to do this one, this song. So it was an honor to get to work with him that many years later. Wow. Yeah.
So wait, are you saying you can get us an interview with Dolly Parton?
Oh, maybe.
I'm just kidding. Well, no.
If not with her, her neighbor that lives a couple of doors down.
Okay. Nashville is, of course, called Music City, and Music City for a reason. So many folks have moved there. My first apartment when I was in college, I was single at the time, and I moved into a little apartment. They didn't leave it all that well. And I'm digging around through some old stuff. And lo and behold, I pulled out like 5 notebook papers that had songs written on.
Well,
and I'm sitting there looking, wow, going, man, I get, you know, I guess they just kind of gave up.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, maybe I ought to sit down and try to put these to music or something.
Yeah. But anyway. Should. It was probably some hits there.
you never know, mate. You never know.
So when you all are out at a venue, has there ever been like an aha moment, like where something, you were just awestruck by something that happened?
In regards to when I was in the music industry or with
whatever,
you and I traveling together.
Whichever.
For me, I'm constantly humbled. Years later, when we have people of all different, you know, ages now, but when you get somebody come up and said, "Hey, listen, you don't know me, but years ago, I went to your concert and I was in a really difficult place. And that night you guys shared the gospel."
Yeah. Mm.
And that night I opened my heart up to Christ and it just changed my life forever. Mm. And you know, stories like that, they never get old. Mm-hmm. You're constantly humbled about how, you know, how God is so, it's like God is so passionate and excited about using people to reach people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, who am I? You know, I haven't gone to seminary. I'm not this celebrity. You know, what can I do? And we always encourage folks. I'm like, listen, what can you do? You got a testimony. That's all you need. You know, whether you've known the Lord 1 week, 1 year or 30 years, you know, the power of a testimony. But I'm constantly humbled when people come up and share how the music helped them, how the concert, how the Lord used it to breathe life into them. I never get tired of that. It's a constant reminder of the goodness of God and how the Lord uses us all. And you know what? Sometimes we may never know the impact we have on people's lives until we're in glory. So those moments that people can share are such treasures for me and Tanya, you know, when we travel. It never gets old.
Amen.
Now, so tell me, how did our paths cross with you at that dinner? What brought you to the dinner where we met you?
How did we get to
the
dinner?
I think we heard in the grapevine there was going to be free food.
Okay.
We got excited about that, yeah. But I think we were talking... We were talking to someone that we'd connected to. It was
for the military.
With the military.
Oh, okay.
And then they knew somebody that knew somebody that was going to be at that dinner next thing, because we didn't really know anyone. When we came to the restaurant, I think actually we walked up to that room. We kind of opened the door and looked in, and initially we walked off. Because the people and we didn't even know, because we knew nobody. Is this the right room? And then one of the young girls, came out. Are you John and Tanya James? And we're like, yeah. She goes, you're at the right place.
Oh,
and
wow.
Really? And then sitting there and meeting you folks and different ones and hearing the incredible, my goodness, the testimony of that brother that shared
the testimony.
Unbelievable. So we were just honored to be there to hear what God is doing, what the kingdom of God is doing in different places. Yeah. But sometimes you think in the most unlikeliest place, in the midst of a war, the Spirit of God is moving and bringing hope to people.
You never know what fiber you are in the tapestry that's been woven.
Incredible. And it was just really touching and inspiring to be there. I think it is a strong reminder for those of us that at the moment are so safe and blessed to live in this great country. and the freedoms we still have. I know there's powers at being that might be taking those freedoms away, but the freedom we still have, man, we're so blessed. And, you know, Tanya's American and I immigrated. You know, you're looking at somebody that's actually immigrated to this country legally. I don't consider it a right to live in America. I have the conviction it's a privilege and an honor. And I am incredibly blessed to live in the greatest nation in the world. And I mean that with all my heart.
Amen. Amen. I was just going to ask you if you had any kind of inkling, or maybe the Holy Spirit might be moving you a little bit, maybe think about your old homeland of Australia and using you over there, or are you just saying, hey, this is, looks like where the Lord wants us right here?
Yeah, you know, I've learned in life never to say never, because just because something's not on our radar today, it may be tomorrow. But as a missionary to America, this is, you know, God has called me as a missionary to America, and this is where the Lord has us. And sometimes people, when I say that, they like, really, missionaries to America? I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. More than ever, this great nation needs missionaries to America. And this is really where the Lord has knitted our heart. Yeah. And we have such a burning passion to reach this great nation for the kingdom of God. More than ever.
Wow. That's exciting to me. I tell you, as a native born American myself, I married a Cuban girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she, her parents used to talk about the way things were. They left just barely in time to get out just before Castro took over.
Wow.
And the hellhole that place has become because of throwing God out, putting in communism, a godless heathen type of government and organization that it is.
Yeah.
It's a crying shame. And I know
horrible.
She has spent just countless hours thinking about her family that she never gets to see.
Wow.
And just all the terrors that those people have gone through because a madman in 1959 was able to get hold of power. And they haven't been able to wrest it back in. It's just such a crying shame.
And John, it's amazing the name that Jack's wife's parents gave to her. You want to share that, Jack?
Yeah. You would never guess, but her name is America.
Really? Oh, really? Wow.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You're right. I would never have guessed.
Never.
Yeah. That's her name.
And, very cool.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful name, obviously, to say. She goes by her nickname more than she goes by her name. But I was just enthralled when I met this lovely lady and way back in 1973. And she, being of Latin heritage, had that black hair, and just a gorgeous lady. And she didn't she didn't even speak with an accent because she left when she was about 4 years old. So.
Wow.
English became, and you can imagine, John, I mean, maybe a little bit here. When you come to a place, particularly when they're speaking a totally different language like Spanish, and you're in first grade and all you know is Spanish, and you sit down in a public school. And teachers are not speaking Spanish.
Yeah. I can't imagine that. Wow. Incredible. Yeah. What she overcome as a young child.
Yeah.
But amazing.
She and her brother both picked up English rather quickly.
Now I have to ask, is she a good cook? Does she like to cook?
She does. Not as much now. But when to tell the truth, we eat out quite a bit. But in the past, she makes, and being a Latin, I mean, she does Latin food really well, but my favorite dish of hers, believe it or not, is an Italian dish that we all know as lasagna. She makes lasagna that's out of this world.
Well, you and I think, all three of us, we're all blessed men to be blessed with absolutely wonderful wives. So how good is God, eh?
Yep. But Tanya, I got to ask you, does John make anything from down under?
He does not. I just got him a Traeger grill for well, actually, it was my Mother's Day present. We used my money from my Mother's Day present to buy you Traeger grill. But
mate, I'm smoking, so grilling everything that walks, mate. Aussies love barbecues, mate. And okay. If it can be barbecue,
you ever eat kangaroo?
Oh, come on! of course, delicious. Okay. But it's good.
We have a lot of deer hanging out in our backyard. I keep telling them, run for your life.
So as you go on your mission, what message would you like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think more than ever, there needs to be a clear gospel message. Unfortunately, it seems in the culture we live in today, there's been this Kool-Aid Christianity that tastes sweet and goes down sweet. But when you look below the hood, I don't think it's an authentic gospel message. And I think when you ask people to start a journey of following Christ, but it's built on such a sandy foundation. For example, let me clarify. I think at times there's a gospel message in this great nation that's given, hey, you need to come to Jesus. And if the world does stop and say, well, why is that? Because he has the most incredible, amazing, spectacular, mind-blowing purpose and destiny and plan for your life above anything you could ever hope or dream for. Now, the reality is God does have a plan for our lives, but that's not the gospel message. The good news is that we're all sinners and we all desperately need a savior, that because of our sin, we're all separated from a holy God and we could never be good enough, worthy enough, holy enough. But in the midst of our sin, the good news is that God sent Christ. So when you understand I'm coming to Christ, not because he's my life enhancement God that's going to enhance every area of my life. I'm immune now to poverty. I'm immune now to suffering, of grief, of pain. It's like I am in this sterile bubble and I'm called now to live the blessed life, free from opposition, from persecution, from pain. Amen. That's not the gospel message. And so, you know, we realize that we desperately need a savior. And without Christ, there's no hope. But that message of hope can only be found at the foot of the cross through repentance. It's not about, hey, send in $9.99 and I'll send you your plaque and you're in the club now. It's that repentance at the foot of the cross. And then we start that journey of following Christ. And so that's kind of what I believe sometimes has really been lost and distorted. And the problem when people do start that life enhancement journey, the first opposition or the first difficulty or the storm they go through or the persecution, they're like, well, wait a second, when I signed up for this, this wasn't part of the fine print. I'm meant to be living this incredible, magnificent, spectacular, perfect life now. And so often people are being shipwrecked. And so that's my 2 second rant on the importance of a clear gospel and the importance of, listen, he is a loving God, but he's also a just God. And because he is a loving God, he has to be just. He's also a holy God. And I can't just blasé-ically come before him, yo, and God's my bro, give me high five.
Yeah, we talked about that God. The other day. He ain't your bro.
He ain't your bro. And it's like, you know, we Tanya talks about having that sense of awe and fear. Now, not fear of wrath, but a sense of fear of who he is.
Healthy
fear of the Lord, that, you know, and that fear and trembling that he is a holy God. And I think to some degree, we've become so blasé about, hey, let's go party with God. It's like, and we become so over familiar with how holy, and yes. I think we can lose that sense of awe and reverence.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, now we have that intimacy in that friendship, but the fact we have intimacy with God is only because of what Christ did at Calvary.
That's right.
You know, otherwise we would drop dead in the presence of this holy God.
Absolutely.
So I hope that bears witness to any of the viewers, any of the listeners, but that's kind of what I feel our message is. Bringing a message, a clear gospel of repentance, but hope found in Christ alone. There's not many ways to God. Yeah, there's only one. It's through Christ. It's through Calvary. It's through the shed blood. But then the journey of sanctification starts. It's not like, well, I signed up. I'm in the club now. Now I can go live my own life.
No, there's no retirement either.
No.
Amen. I'm glad you guys said that. Yeah, and I always say to folks, I'd say, man, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. You may retire from your natural vocation.
Yeah.
Well done. You deserve it. You worked hard. But come on. Do we ever retire from service of the king?
No.
Never. Never.
Did Christ ever ask the disciples to retire?
No. Oh, babe. Oh, look out. And it's kind of, you get that mindset because, you know, we're going to Florida and Florida can be the retirement capital of the universe.
Can be.
And I get that. Like I honor older folks that have worked hard and brilliant, but just because you retired from your vocation, you do not check out now and retire from service of the king, eh? Yeah. That's our conviction, eh?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I've got a friend of mine, my best friend for over 30 years, his grandfather that's gone home to be with the Lord. Now, in his 90s, was pioneering churches in the jungles of Papua New Guinea.
Wow.
He went home to be at the Lord on the mission field. Now, I'm not saying that Tanya and I are going to be in the jungles in our 90s, but it inspires me, mate, you never retire from serving the king. There's That's something right. I can do.
And you
There's
never know.
I can serve.
You then, just hey, never know.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so that's my little rant.
Okay. Well, we're so blessed to have you all on our podcast today, and thank you for the messages, and we're going to be following you, and if you're in our area, let us
please.
Know. And
please let us know.
Our door is always open if you need a place that put your hat for the night.
Thank you. We appreciate that, and please pray for us. That's not just, you know, rhetoric we say. Man, we've seen the prayers of saints praying for us for safe travel, for our health as we go everywhere. Pray for favor with the military in the recovery facilities, in the public schools now this year with school opening
up.
You're
getting in schools. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on, mate. Come on. Yeah. You know, and just pray for God's ongoing favor, protection, and provision as missionaries to America, mate.
All right. Amen. Amen. That's exciting, brother. Thank you. I tell you, you've encouraged my heart. You really have.
Oh, bless
Thank
you guys.
So much.
Hey, isn't that awesome with the body of Christ as brothers in Christ, as sisters? You know, we encourage each other, eh?
Oh, that's right.
That's why we need each other so much.
So much.
So much to encourage each other in the faith, eh?
Amen. Well, thanks again.
Yeah. You're welcome.
God bless you guys.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However,
The Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.